With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. Later on, we welcome Ian Limmer back to the podcast. He's the nursery manager at Peter Beale's, who celebrate their 50th anniversary later this year. They're synonymous with roses, and there's nothing Ian doesn't know about rose growing. My thanks to Sutton Seeds of Torquay, sponsors of this podcast, and to my producer, Charlie Jones. Well, they say in Britain, we don't have climate, we just have weather. And certainly for the last few days, we've had some weather. How about that? I mean, from deep frost and one evening -7 in my garden to blue skies and temperatures about, 10, I suppose, today, and a lovely spring morning. Goodness gracious. I had to smile because I read a comment from one of the BBC Garden as well presenters saying that we don't have spikes of extreme weather anymore. Not much we don't. You need a few years' experience in the gardening world before you start making that kind of statement. Don't forget, Mothering Sunday this weekend, and a good thing to do is to look out for a rose called Charisma. Really beautiful rose, very strong growing, healthy, but most of all has fragrance. So why not give Mum a rose bush, and then for weeks and weeks and months and for years to come, there'll be really nice roses to cut. And I know it's traditional for youngsters to take a bunch of daffs or something to Mum, but how about a pot of bulbs? Because then when they finish, they can be planted in the garden and the gift lives on. I'm very pleased to see that the new Rose Society, the Rose Society UK, is well up and producing a monthly newsletter online. So if you're at all interested in flowers in general and roses in particular, then I suggest you log on to info@therosesociety and you'll see an awful lot of information there. There's a bill going before Parliament to allow Kew to lease property. I think it's particularly houses and things around their estate, to lease them for 150 years and in the process raise millions so they can continue the repair and development of buildings and other plantings in the Botanic Garden. I wish them luck. And on the polythene front, you know, all that comment in the media following Blue Planet, I just wonder what we're going to do with the plastic flower pots. I mean, we're using millions of them. Most of them are recycled scores of times in my backyard, and I think we need to find ways to use them again and again. We have a garden press day this week, and so I hope to hear a bit more about pots which are biodegradable. And with all that frost, some of the things that we can do in the garden become limited. But if it's not actually freezing, then we can continue with fruit tree pruning. If it is really freezing hard and you try and prune, the wood can be brittle and splits. So it's much better to wait until you can see that things are thawing a bit. And then with young trees, I'm thinking 2 to 5 year old plums, cherries, apples and pears that are going to be grown bush style. They need last year's growth, the lead growth on the end of each branch, cut back by at least a half. If you do that, then of course the side shoots come from below the cut. If you don't do it, Some of the tip bearers will produce flowers and fruits at the end of those long shoots, and then the weight bends them down and they won't be very strong and break. And so by pruning, you get a much stronger structure. It's one of those quandaries really for the garden centre people. If they're selling 2-year-old and 3-year-old trees with really nice, strong, young extension growth, if they do the best for you and prune those lewd shoots back by a half, a third to a half, then obviously the trees don't look as big and so don't look worth as much. And too often they're just sold unpruned, which I think's a pity. Just one other thing too I'd suggest. Meadowcroft Garden Centre, down near Wickford, they have their Pansy Festival from this coming weekend onwards, where you'll see hundreds of different varieties of pansy and viola. That's a great place to take Mum, and it's the perfect place if you want to choose the very best in the latest pansies and violas.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
One of the great company names when it comes to roses is Peter Beales. I worked alongside the late Peter Beales many years ago on the show circuit. And today I've got Ian Limmer on the line, who's nursery manager. How are things up there in Norfolk, Ian?
Very well, thank you, Peter. I must just say that it's a bit unusual to be talking to you in sort of middle of March with an inch of snow on the ground. We're hoping for sunshine, but that's where we are at the moment.
Now, things have changed a lot, haven't they, since the days of shows and taking orders through the summer and then dispatching in the autumn. A lot of your sales will be in containers now, aren't they?
Right. Yes, things have really changed over the last, 20, 30 years. And what seems to be happening, the containers are getting more popular now. The demand for the public that want to see a rose in a container, in flower, look at it, see the health of it and the habit of it, and then decide whether they liked it and buy it. The days of the bare root roses is still the biggest part of our business, but it wouldn't surprise me in several years' time, even a few years' time, that it comes the other way around, where people want to see them and take them away in a container.
Well, now, your nursery is quite a mecca, isn't it, for rose growers now? I mean, you have this fantastic garden. I was most impressed when I walked through it last summer. But it's not all roses, is it?
No, thank you for that comment. We're very proud of the gardens. Over the last 3 to 4 years, it's been revamped, and we've got over 3,000 roses recently planted in the gardens, and that was, like I say, about 3 to 4 years ago, and they're now coming to maturity, and a lot of the roses now are up and over the arches and all the pergolas and so on, and what a wonderful display it is. But not only roses, we have herbaceous perennials and clematis climbing up through them. We have now probably over 2,000 herbaceous and perennial plants, for sale at the nursery as well. So we really are, a plant destination, not only with roses, but with plants as well.
But did I hear you correct? 3,000 different cultivars of roses?
Sorry, 3,000 roses planted in the garden.
Oh, right.
And there's about 600 different varieties, sorry.
Yeah, well, that's enough. Yes. 600.
That keeps us out of mischief, yes.
And can you name them all then?
Well, I think I can name them all, but it's not just a matter of naming. You know, the other thing is, you know, we've got a lot of experienced staff here at the nursery. You know, a customer might come along and ask, you know, for a rose, and, you know, they expect you to know the height of it, the width of it, will it tolerate poor soil, is it repeat flowering, is it scented, and so on. So there's an awful lot of information, you know, to take on board and to learn. And, you know, yes, I'm after 42 years, I'm still learning as well.
Well, I think trying to remember all of those qualities of 600 different ones would sort of stretch me a bit. I mean, quite honestly, if it's varieties that I was growing as a nursery hand back in the 50s and 60s, I'm thinking of things like Ma Perkins, you could tell them by the stem.
Yes, you can. There's an awful lot. It's something which is, you know, I feel, I don't know about quite proud, but, you know, when you go on a site visit to a customer's house and they want to put some roses in it in the winter, I'll go along and you sort of look at something, oh, that's a, like a Madame Alfred Carrier growing on the wall, and there's no flowers, no leaves or anything, just the stems.
I remember a Frenchman and Josephine Bruce, pretty vicious thorns, weren't they, eh?
Yes. Frenchman was a lovely big rose, very sturdy and tough as old boots, as they say.
Now, you've extended the garden too, haven't you?
Yeah, we've extended. So we've got two different types of gardens, how I like to think of it. We've got one which has got over 600 varieties in, and it's all edged properly, mown on a regular basis, sprayed, and really looks absolutely fantastic. And then just next to that garden is what we call the wildlife garden. Again, it looks absolutely fantastic. It's only been opened now 2 years, and it's beginning to get settled down, where we've got all sorts of wildflowers and old-fashioned roses, specie roses. There's bee orchids and things like that. And even, you know, letting, you know, some of the thistles, you know, to get growing, and you're mowing a path and walking through, there's swings down there for children, and it's very relaxing as you go from one garden to another. It's quite unique, I think.
Well, it's great for families, isn't it? Because the youngsters can run a bit wild and, you know, go through those wildlife walks and things, whilst perhaps the older members of the family are making notes and getting information at the top end.
Exactly. The children have a wonderful time running through the path, you know, the paths down the bottom there. You know, also we're having, you know, one or two schools come, you know, with the young children and trying to teach them a little bit about, you know, gardening and so on. So, you know, it's very, very important to get the next generation, you know, to come through interested in plants.
But you're doing more than just working with school children. You've got several apprentices too, haven't you?
Yes. We've got the new generation of Peter Beale's roses coming through with several young apprentices coming through. We've got either four or five, and several of them have been with us now five or six years, training them up with going to college with the apprenticeship scheme, on spray courses, first aid courses and things like that, to try and get them trained up, because I think to become a horticulturalist, I suppose, or rose grower, or however you like to call it, takes, you know, 6, 7, 8 years before you really begin to understand a plant, the feel of a plant.
Yes, you need to see, don't you, a mild winter and a hard winter,
right.
Hot summer, cold summer,
exactly.
Dry spring, all those things. And I think I welcome the hands-on experience that I had as a youngster. Didn't always like it in the winter, tying those bundles of pretty cold, prickly roses, but there you are. You have to do the tough end, don't you?
Exactly. I mean, you take, you know, with this industry, you take the, I suppose, the rough with the smooth. In the winter, you know, where you've got the bare root roses, and as you say, with all the thorns and the tying up, etc., and dispatching the bare root roses, and then in the summer, you've got the lovely hot weather, and then, you know, with all the beauty of the flowers, with so many different types and characters of them. I sort of believe that they've got characters, you know, in them.
I'm sure they have, without question. But now, quite recently, you've introduced quite a program of courses and workshops for people, haven't you?
Yes, we have, and each year the courses we're adding more and more. We've got a lot of experienced horticulturalists here, as well as rosarians. We've just now had a planting and pruning course for 3 days last week, and we had to close that off because that was fully booked. Tomorrow we've got a clematis and climbing workshop, and that's fully booked. So, have courses right the way through from February, right the way through until December, where we've got holly wreath making, and that goes down very well as well.
So when you say full, how many people are coming together on these events?
For the planting and pruning course, that's a full day course where we give demonstrations, lectures, and they have a lovely meal and so on. It's a full day, and we had 24. We stopped at 24, and I'm even thinking of lowering it to 20 because there's so many keen people that I feel it's better to have a little bit more one-to-one. So we're sort of going to stop them, at about 20.
If you get more than 20, then you find...
Up another day.
Well, I hadn't thought about that. But you find several sort of wandering off, don't you? You
know, yes.
If you're trying to actually demonstrate something and get a few of the yes. students to have a bit of a go,
yeah.
then, yes, the numbers yeah. do need to be
It needs to be restricted. And, with 20, we generally have three rosarians on the course, giving help and advice. And then, because a lot of it is done in a workshop, and then we go out into the gardens. And when we go into the gardens with that size group, we split them up. So it is a little bit, it's a little bit easier. But everybody seems to be enjoying the courses, and, it seems to be going down very well, so we'll probably be adding some more next year. I mean, we've got our annual Rose Festival in June on the 16th and 17th, which is a lovely, each year that's getting bigger and better all the time, where we have other exhibitors coming along as well. So that's a lovely weekend as well.
When you say you've got exhibitors coming, do you have a competition or something?
Well, we have all sorts of things on going on in the June. We have a lot of handcraft people as well. For example, they'll have a little stall where they make old fences out of wicker and things like that. In the olden days, and show you how to chop down and make fences, hedges yeah. and things like that. So a lot of crafty stalls and stands, and a few plants, specialist plants, are invited along. So, similar to ourselves, but maybe smaller family businesses that specialise in specific plants.
Well, I have to tell you that I'm in the process of trying to organise a rose festival over 8 days across the country. From the 23rd of June, so it'll follow on from yours, won't it? It'll be the next weekend, so to
yes,
speak.
Yes, it would, yes.
And we want to try and persuade at least 60 and possibly up to 100 garden centres to have a Rose Festival. And each one of them will get their customers and people in the locality to bring a rose in a bottle and to stage a prettiest rose competition.
Good idea.
And then the winners from each one we hope to put on social media and see if we can find the prettiest rose in Britain. Whether I've got the energy to put all that in place between now and June.
That's a big task, but wish you well. What a good idea. Very good idea, Peter.
But Ian, we haven't spoken anything at all yet about your rose breeding and the new varieties that you're bringing out.
Yeah, each year we're bringing out, one to two new varieties. The breeding program we do over about 2,000 to 3,000 different crosses a year, which will lead to probably about planting 40,000 to 50,000 seeds. And out of those 40,000 to 50,000 seeds, you might expect to get half a dozen that are any good, to launch. It's a very, very difficult process.
And you're still doing that. You're doing 2,000 to 3,000 crosses.
Yes, we're doing that every year at the moment. It takes, obviously, you know, a lot of time, and you know, we have, you know, one person, Michael Baldwin, who dedicated to you know, doing a lot of the hybridizing along with my instructions.
But I mean, that's an exciting time in what, May or June, when those little seedlings show the first flower.
It's absolutely amazing because you know. You're always looking for something slightly different, something that just stands out. And, you know, to have something new and exciting, you know, every year, it's very difficult. And there's always that one seedling, and it's probably the one that is right at the back of the glass house that's waving its little flower and its head in the air saying, over here, that's me. we launched a lovely one last year called, you know, we launched two, Margaret Greville and Pat with Pride. But Pat with Pride, that, I mean, that stood out for me with its such a robust, healthy foliage, almost peony-shaped, lovely fragrance, semi-double to three-quarter flowers, insect-friendly, which is lovely, you know, for the bees and so on to collect the pollen, but a beautiful, beautiful road.
What's your objective now? What have you got your mind set on when it comes to making the crosses? And is it like breeding horses? You know, do you have good mother and father stock?
Yes, it's very much like that. You know, you have a very good parent plants where you're trying to breed robustness into the plant. And the demand from the public is for roses now to flower not only once or twice, but three or even four times. So we're looking for, you know, varieties to bring out that will flower on and off throughout the summer and even into the autumn, you know, flowering off and on from 7 to 9 months. There's always this thought that some of the roses and some of the old ones, you know, only flower for, you know, about 3 weeks, then they're over. But there's an awful lot of old and new varieties that flower off and on right the way through until November.
Well, Ian, it's fascinating talking to you. Look forward to seeing you in the summer.
Yes.
When you might sort of take me behind the scenes and just show us what we're likely to see in the next year or two.
No problem. Yeah. No problem. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Peter.
Our thought for the day, Gardeners Learn by Trial and Error. I think that's certainly true. I've learned a lot by trailing things in and finding that they haven't worked quite as I would like. And the late Jeff Amos, he posed the question, what did plant breeders get when they crossed Love Lies Bleeding with Love in a Mist? He thought that they'd have a new plant called Love in a Bleeding Mist. Thanks again to our sponsors, Sutton Seeds of Torquay, and thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.